Queen is about undesired transitions. It's about the recently unemployed, or the woman whose engagement has just broken off. It's about the college graduate who can't seem to find a degree in the field that they prepared for through 4 or 5 years of college. It's the undesired space we find ourselves in between more desired spaces. And the story is taken from the wanderings of the Israelites in the Old Testament of the Bible. I mean, the Israelites exit generations of slavery in Egypt, and they're moving toward the land of promise, Canaan. But in between, they're in the Sinai desert, the wilderness, the land between. But it's in that desert that God desired to form them into a people of trust, from that people of slavery transformed into the people of God. And it's in our land between that God desires to do some of his deepest work in us. The land between explores the unique challenges and opportunities that occur in our lives when we're in this middle space, in the land between, in the desert. And what we discover is that God does some of his deepest work there, or intends to. It's as if the space we want most desperately to avoid is the space that we most desperately need.
That book, The Land Between, I am commending to you. Ed, this week, told me about this book. I read it in like 2 days, and I'm begging you to read it, because every one of you will need it sooner or later. Every one of you. Matter of fact, I have bought copies for some of you. They were supposed to be here, and Amazon let us down. We're kind of disappointed about that. What it is basically, he's telling a story of finding God in difficult transitions. And sooner or later, you're going to run into him. Sooner or later, you're going to get the call into the boss's office that your job is being phased out. Sooner or later, you're going to find out that when the doctor calls and says that the tumor is malignant. Sooner or later, everyone runs into bad news. Whether it is, hey, Dad, I'm at the police station, or Mom and I are getting a divorce, or Dad's had a stroke, or there's an accident, can you come to the hospital as soon as possible? Or why can't we have kids? Everyone else is. Why can't I find a mate? Everyone else is. Why is everyone else healthy? Why can everyone else get a break and I can't get a break? And some of you, I know, because I've talked to a lot of you this week, your life is spinning. It's difficult. It is hard. And it is in these times that one of two things happens. You will find out that you can only hang on to God because he's your only hope. This world will let you down. Or you're going to get angry and mad, and you might sit there and say, you know what? I'm checking out from God, and you know what? I'm going to fill my life, and I'm going to numb my life with busyness and possessions and career and activity and vacation and drugs and alcohol. And there's a danger there, because we all run into difficult times, and we don't like them. I don't like them. I don't like them at all. But I look at my life, and I look back at my life. The times I have grown the most has been when I've been in the land between. And in a real way, we're all in the land between, right? None of us, I mean, this life is a vapor. Is a vapor. The scripture is clear. Beloved, it says in 1 John 3:2, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. I mean, there's going to be a day where we're going to be before the God of the universe. And it's going to happen quickly, and there's no delay. It's going to be there. I was talking to Shirley Buttrey, one of our 100 years old, that used to sit right over there, and now she's at a Beechwood Manor. And I went and saw her this week, and I said, Shirley, how you doing? And she in her southern voice says, I'm not a fan of this place. She's not a fan of being in a nursing home, and I don't blame her. I go to different places, but I read her this scripture, and I read it to us as well. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As I talk to you, some of the things that you're going through and have been going through for years, they don't seem light and they don't seem momentary. I get that. But the scripture says that that's what's happening. As, and then he goes on to say, as we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Now we know if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan. And some of you are groaning physically, and some of you are groaning emotionally. Some of you, it's like, my life didn't turn out the way that I had hoped or planned that it would. But I would submit to you, even in the midst of your plans gone awry, God has a plan and is working. Let me invite you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 3. And really, today is part two from last week. We are looking at Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church. He had prayed in chapter 1 that they would they might understand, and now he's praying that they would apply all that they have heard and all that they know. And Paul's writing from prison, by the way, which is, again, we spent a whole week looking at Paul's life. Not a cakewalk. You would think, okay, here's probably the greatest Christian that's ever lived, and his life was full of troubles, and yet God redeemed every ounce of those troubles. But I'm going to back up and read what we looked at last week. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14, Paul prayed. He says, "For this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God." Now, last week we talked about the prop, and we talked about the whole understanding that in the first chapter, he laid out the benefits we have in Christ, that we have been chosen in Christ, that we are adopted, that we are forgiven, that we have come to faith in Christ, not by our works. This church, and no church gets anyone into heaven. We come to the cross and we surrender our lives to him. But when that happens, the moment we believe, God the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our life. You have all of the Holy Spirit that you will ever need. You don't need to ask for more. You don't need to ask for a second blessing. You have all you will ever need. The battle for every one of us is that we would be filled, controlled by the Holy Spirit, that we would be filled with the fullness of God, that we would so yield to him that he has control, he has power. And so we talked about that last week, and I thought about that this week. I asked the question, do I really want to be filled with the fullness of God? That's a question I put before you. Do you really? Are you willing to trust him in the midst of all the hard things that you're going through? That to be quite honest, you may not get the answer you want ever. Are you willing to trust him and to say, "Lord, I give everything to you"? In the book, The Land Between, Jeff Mannion talks about transformational change and how God desires to take our lives, not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And he talks about that transformational change and how it's a process, but we don't want a process. We don't want a process. We want quick fixes. And we've been trained ever since our youth to understand we need a quick fix. We want something, We pray to God, God, give me what I want, and you don't. It's like, why you do me this way? Why are you doing this? We want quick change, quick transformation. And he uses the illustration of Rocky videos in the Rocky movies. Every one of them, Rocky, it's a 2 minute and 37 second montage that we've melted down to 30 seconds where he goes from a poorly conditioned, undisciplined gym brawler until he does all this amazing workout and exercise, and he's getting strong now, he gets healthy, he gets emotionally and physically pounded, but then he ends up on the top of the Philadelphia Library getting strong. And we're like, yes, ready, and we want that. Give me in 2 minutes and 37 seconds to go from being on the struggle bus to being strong and mature. Guess what? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. We long for the quick diet. How to lose weight? No diet, no gym. Pop a couple pills. Then you're going to look like a supermodel. It doesn't work that way. And yet people think that, oh, you know, I want to be a strong Christian. I want to be walking with Jesus. I want to be filled with the fullness of God. But give it to me in a pill. Okay, because then I got to get on with my life. And Jesus is great as long as I can throw him in my backpack and carry him along. And Paul's just saying, no, that won't happen. If we're going to be filled with the fullness of God, there is the growth that takes place. It is a process, and he grows you through the hard times. I always say, you never grow when you're sitting on the beach having a nice tea. You just don't grow spiritually that way. Now, if a hurricane comes, you could be growing, but when it's sunny out, it's not growth time, and yet he calls us to grow. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy, put it away, people, and envy and all slander, like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up in your salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. You got to grow up in it. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And so this process that we go through, and right now, and here's where that book I want you to get, because right now some of you are in the hardest time of your life, and you're in the desert and you don't see the end. And some of you are like, my life's great. Everything's good. Everybody's healthy. Jobs are great. Cruising along. Happy for you. But sooner or later, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. You're going to have trouble. And so if we're going to be filled with the fullness of God, we need to be evaluating. Where am I at? Where am I really at? I mean, don't give me the Jesus talk. Where am I really at in this? Am I turning to him? Am I repenting? Am I daily applying the word? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And people say, you know, oh, how do you grow so strong? You know what? For ever since I came to know Jesus, July 4th, 1981, I've taken in the word. I've taken two steps forward, one step back. But I say to everybody, fail forward, keep growing, keep taking in the word. That's what we got to do. We keep battling. We keep battling, and we persevere. And it always helps to have someone along the way to grab you and hold you accountable. Say, how you doing, sister? How you doing, brother? We need that. Everybody needs that. Now, all of that is by way of review and introduction. Now we come to verse 20 and 21, which are incredible passages. But it is preceded by verse 19, which says, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of Christ. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. So we're going to look at God's power unveiled. I remember looking at this verse as a young believer, because this is one of those great verses. Now to him who is able to do abundantly more than all we ask or think, according to his power within us. That is at work within us. I used to keep those verses isolated from verse 19, and you can't do that. If you want to sense, if we want to sense as God's people his power, we got to be filled and be battling to be filled with the fullness of God. And by the way, it is a battle. I'm not there, you're not there, but we press on to that. You can't just plop this verse out and say, God, give me what I want. That's what I did as a new believer. God, help me. Give me what I want. You're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. Give me what I want. And we treat him like a genie. And we say, okay, you know, I love you. Yes, you died for my sins. Yes, okay, give me what I want. But that's not how it works. See, that's part of the danger, is that we just look at him and yet when we understand in the context that when we are leaning on him, when we are filled with the fullness of God, when we're endeavoring to do that, God does work. He shows up. He is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. He does things that's like, wow, I never imagined God could do that. If you're in your life and you're saying, I quit praying because God doesn't answer, I'm begging you to hang on, because he is. He's able to do, might not be what your plan was, but he's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to his power at work within us. Crawford Loritz talks about his power, that his, what does he do? How does his power work in our lives? He conforms you to be like Jesus. He allows you to love people and to forgive people and to walk humbly with God. He gives you the ability to stay in that situation that seems endless and hopeless. And he gives you the strength to hold on. Again, our life is a vapor. Man, is it a vapor. There's a new show that my wife watches on cable, Decades, it's called. And they have different things from different decades. And it's pretty interesting. They show TV shows and commercials from certain decades. And I'm looking at these things from the 70s, and it's like, oh, that was a great show. You know, I mean, that's when there was good TV and good commercials. And then you blink, it's like, that was a long time ago. And if my kids walked in and saw that, they would laugh. You know, the reality of time flies by. So it does for all of us. But in this, he's able to, when we trust him, he's able to do far more than we could ask or think. Right now, you might think, I'm going through a situation that I don't know I'm going to make it. The relationship's bad, the kids are crazy, the fill in the blank. And you're white-knuckling it, saying, I don't know if I could take one more minute of this. I'm begging you, turn your eyes to Jesus, trust him, surrender totally to him. Totally. We can't do this with one foot in, give me what I want, and yeah, I'll trust you for part of it, but I really want what I want. We got to give him everything, and he will do a work. He will do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. Part of that is, He will sustain you when you think you cannot go one more day. Not one more day. He will. And he'll do it for you differently than he'll do it for me, but his word does not fail. He is able to save marriages. He is able to give people the ability to hold on, to realize that they're not going crazy. He will give them the ability to trust him and live with less, even when you're going through times of tremendous difficulty. And you think, right, again, it's funny because in every body of believers, in every church, there's people that right now, man, your life is great, clicking on all cylinders. And I know there's a couple dozen of you right now that you're barely holding on. And you're like saying, take me, Jesus. And I'm saying, let him use you. Our days are in his hand. He's going to take us when he takes us, but let him use you. Joseph Garlington has said, God's power is getting you ready for what he already has ready for you. I love that. God's power is getting you ready for what he already has ready for you. And it might not be in your script. It might not be in your game plan. But it could be the very thing that God is using to keep you connected to him. And some of that stuff you won't know till you're in eternity. And you'll see the pieces. You'll see how God worked. I do. I mean, we baptized my mother-in-law. And I think about that. Her plans, her world was crushed in 1945 when a Japanese sniper killed her fiancé. And here she is today. And there's people where she lives that's saying that she is an angel from heaven, a merciful servant to help them. And now, that wasn't in her script back in 1945. Matter of fact, she got mad at God, walked away. But God, who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or imagine, had a plan, had an amazing plan, and he does it. And why does he do it? God's power is in us, brings him glory. Let's just read those two verses together. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to him who was able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Who gets the glory? He does. And yes, he uses people. He's used my mother-in-law. He uses you. And he does it for his glory. Not that we look around. And it is great. Isn't it great to be used of the Lord? And if some of you are like, I don't know what that's about. Well, let me just give you a little tip. Yield to him. You'll be his hands and feet. You'll be the blessing that God, who's prepared good works for you, he will use you to be a blessing. There are people who aren't at this church anymore. When I was in my darkest day as a pastor, they took my wife and I out to dinner, and it was as if God was sitting across the table speaking to us. It was what I needed at that moment because I was barely hanging on. I was getting ready to say, ministry, done. I'll go back to Xerox, make more money, and be happy. And yet, through the words of someone who in that moment was filled with the fullness of God, they were God's instrument to help. And that's what he wants to do with you. And he'll get the glory. Anything he does. We're not taking the victory lap. We're not posing like these guys do. It's like, hey, aren't I great? No, he gets the glory. In 1 Timothy 1:17, to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your bodies. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works. So he's prepared good things for you to do. Today, tomorrow, go and be his hands. Get your eyes off of your stuff and your agenda and say, God, what do you want for me to do today? What do you want me to do that I could be a blessing to someone else? Let your light shine so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Even when you're in the land in between. Because when you're going through a hard time and you pray that prayer, Lord, use me. I know you got good things to do. People see it and they're amazed. So let's put this all together. You're here today. I don't know where you're at spiritually. My prayer is that you would not just be a churchgoer, not just be like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, which means I'm not Muslim and I'm not an atheist. So I'm carrying the Christian flag. That's great. But it's more than a flag. He wants our lives. He wants everything. He wants us to be, not only to know him, but to be so yielded to him that we're filled with the fullness of God, that the reality of the Holy Spirit is shining through us, and then he uses us. And for those of you right now that you're in the worst part of your life, I'm begging you, get the book. Because there's nothing, a lot of scriptures in there that's going to say, hey, God's not wasting that suffering you're going through. He's not. And I know you're too busy making your money and doing your family and taking care of this and that and this, that you got too busy for things. I'm telling you, don't be too busy to feed your soul. We live in a day and age. You can listen to it. You can download it. You can whatever. I'm not a big reader fan. I put it on my Kindle Everywhere I drove this week, I just listened, and was blessed to know, wow. And it is cool because you look back and you say, he really did help me grow during those years that I would not even wish on my enemy. He helped me grow. And some of you, you're there right now. And my prayer is that you hold on, that you hold on to him. And I don't know how long it's going to go. There is no magic formula. It's not like, okay, you do this, because what we do, we want to make bargains. God, I remember when we were going through infertility. God, you do this. I'm going to make you a deal. I'm going to give you my life. But I expect kids at the end of this. Are we good, God? And God had totally different plans. So I don't know where you're at. Hold on to him. Trust him. And even though it's like, I've been trusting him for decades, keep holding on to him. He will see you safely home. He will do a work. He will do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. And you won't see it now. Maybe on the other side, you'll say, wow, I now see God's hand, but trust him. I want to pray for you, and then the band's going to come up, or Ed's going to come up and lead us. Lord, you know every person here. You know what is going on. And Lord, you know those that are just have the Christian flag in their backpack, but it's not a real thing to them. And you know those that are truly, they're all in. And they are crying out in the midst of their difficulty that they want to be filled with your fullness. I pray for those that are discouraged, that you would help them to not lose hope. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Help us to trust you. Help us to know that you are God, you are good, you are sovereign. You work all things according to the counsel of your will. And even things that we don't understand, one day we will. And so use us, Lord. May we be your instruments that you would receive glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
This song is a Land Between song from my youth that I had tucked away for many, many years, and just happened to think about it when I was talking to Pastor Matt about this message, about the Land Between. The chorus goes like this. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in I had no experience of trusting God. I believe that I did trust God, but it wasn't until the times where I had to that I started to. And a lot with me throughout the years, it has been with respect to having a job, an income. And so I experienced that in my 20s. And God, really, what do you want me to do? What do you want? Nothing seems to be working. But as that verse said, he was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think, now that I'm on the other side of it. Well, fast forward till about 2 years ago, and I was asking the same questions, God, and asking the same request. God, I need a job. I need some gainful employment. And I didn't know how he was going to do it, but having experienced his faithfulness in the past, I was able to rest in that, knowing that he would. Above all that I could ask or think, that was about the time that I started working here. And got another job as well that I also thoroughly enjoy. And he's providing. When I had more faith, I understood a little bit more because I had gone through it with him, than being on the other side of it. So when I was looking at this song, I found this verse that I'm not even sure that I knew existed. I didn't know about this verse in this song, but now it has a lot more meaning to me being on the other side of the Land Between. The verse is like this. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them, and I'd never know what faith. Sing this. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Sing it again, through it all.
Some of you right now, you're going through it, and as it's going to play, we're going to dismiss, and if you want to come up and have the elders, Pastor Jason and myself, pray for you, love to do that, but my prayer is that you would hold on to Him. He's not done yet. He really isn't, and there was an old saying by a pastor named Roger Campbell that said, in the darkest day, God will find a way, and it's true. It really is. So let's pray. Father, I come before You. You know, again, where every soul is at. You know where we're at. And Your word is true. And through it all, You will be faithful. You will work. You will show Yourself great. And so I pray that wherever our hearts are at today, whether we know You, don't know You, wherever we are at, whether we're in a good time or bad, that You would do a mighty work in our lives. Father, thank You that Your word is true, that You are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to Your power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, both now and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen.